हरि चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bottom two. Pure achar automatically expands into pure prachar, preaching, upachar, deity worship, and all other devotional activities. By such purity, the devotee becomes eligible to enjoy the taste, the higher taste of transcendence, param drishtva, that is spoken of by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, which satisfies all desires at their very root within the soul itself. Thus, the lower taste for meat-eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication is lost. Consciousness firmly settles into sinlessness, and the devotee gradually becomes qualified to enter the rasa of Sri Krishna's personal association. Rasovai saha rasam yevayam labdvanandhi bhavati, declares the Taittiriya Upanishad. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. So, yeah, he's bringing out this point because that's the point of the sampradaya, right? Because that's what we're trying to establish. So here is that the candidate, as said before, the candidate must practically demonstrate his learning through strict adherence to the purified lifestyle, achar, set down by great saintly teachers, acharya. So it's not just knowing the philosophy or tenets, it's actually living it. Right? The genuineness of a sampradaya, a person representing a sampradaya, is primarily determined by spiritual quality. Sarva mahaguna. Guna, Gana, Vaishnava, Sharire. A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good qualities. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:75. The good qualities of the Vaishnava are actually Krishnara Guna, Krishna's own, and they appear in the devotee through his exchange of rasa with the Lord. Because in other words, everything you're doing is connected to the Lord, so naturally then the Lord's qualities will shine through everything. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? The Lord's transcendental qualities are unlimited, Ananta Krishnara Guna, and his devotees are likewise unlimited. This combination precipitates different moods of love of Godhead, which are visible in the persons of great acharyas who have descended into this world to teach genuine Vaishnava qualities via the Sampradaya system. Even when he seems to be in variance with other acharyas on certain matters of detail, it is clear that a real acharya is situated in perfect knowledge because he, one, is free from vice, two, exhibits the good qualities of a Vaishnava, and three, accepts Vishnu Tattva as supreme. Differences between the teachings of acharyas are due to their individual moods of love for the Lord. Right? Also, you have your different situations in which they are performing their devotional service, right? Because that may change wherever you happen to be, the particular time that it happens to be, then you get different needs, right? So therefore, they'll also be preaching in different ways. Quote. This is a quote from Prabhupada. Okay, what Madhvacharya understands, we also understand. What Ramanuja understands, we also understand. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands, we also understand. There's no difference. That is Vaishnava. All the Vaishnavas understand that Vishnu is the supreme. There may be sometimes, such as Krishna is understood as incarnation of Vishnu, and sometimes they understand Vishnu as the incarnation of Krishna. That is Sampradaya. That is Sampradaya. But either Krishna or Vishnu, he is supreme. That is accepted by all. If I love somebody, I'll say he is first. And if you love somebody, you'll say he is first. But both of them, same. Hanumanji, he'll never accept Krishna. And the gopis will never accept Rama or Vishnu. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Conversation, May 6, 1975. Right, so the point that makes them Vaishnavas is that they're accepting Vishnu as supreme. That's the main point, right? They follow the Vaishnava etiquette, right? And they're free from vice. In other words, free from vice means free from involvement in the material world, entanglement in the material world, right? So, therefore, then one is having all good qualities because he is accepting Vishnu as supreme. Does that make sense? So instead of the activities being in the material, the activities are in the spiritual. Right. And to serve Vishnu, you serve with devotees. So that requires etiquette. Does that make sense?
So we're trying to become Vaishnavas.
Yes, we're trying to become Vaishnavas. That's the point. That's why we say dasanu das, is we're trying to become Vaishnavas. So technically it means we use the generic term Vaishnava, you know, because that's what you're trying to do. But technically Vaishnavas means these great personalities. They're Vaishnavas. Right? Like that. Everybody else is trying to become Vaishnava. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. That's the admission into a sampradaya ultimately depends upon the aspirant's submission to the mood of the acharya through strict adherence to the achar he teaches. Right? So it's not that you can accept the person and not his teachings. I mean, we do see Paulinism, that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's not that you need to accept so much the mood and the teachings, it's just simply you accept the acharya and then, you know, you're saved.
Yeah.
Like that. So the problem comes is that it's about you get to that specific place that the person is talking about because you accept the activities, that mood and activities that actually get you there. Right? You have to do some activity to get a result. Right? Just that I accept, yes, I accept within my heart that the blender blends. And so now all my blending problems are over. Right? Do you ever blend put anything in the blender? No, you don't have to. You simply have to accept the blender within your heart. Does this make sense? Yeah, that's the problem. The point is that's what's going on. So you have to, the point is the sampradaya means the mood and the activities given by the acharya is what you do. Right? That's very important. It's not just faith in the acharya, it's faith in the teachings and following that mood of the acharya. Does that make sense? That's what has to be caught. Otherwise, then what's the sampradaya? Right? So that's what this section is about. Those who accept Mahaprabhu, right? Or somehow or another the Vedic, you know, version, but don't accept the proper mood or necessarily the activities. So some accept the mood, not the activities, some of the activities, not the mood. Like the sahajiyas try to think they have the mood, but they don't do the activities. The smartas, they have the activities, not the mood. You know, and then everything in between. Those are your two extremes, right? You have sahajiyas that in, smartas that in. Everybody else is in between, right? And the Vaishnavas are on the razor's edge in the middle, right? So that's the admission into a sampradaya ultimately depends upon the aspirant's submission to the mood of the acharya through strict adherence to the achar he teaches. Another point here is admission into the sampradaya. It's not that I do that, therefore I'm admitted. No, it's you do those things, then those who are actually in the sampradaya acknowledge and accept you. It's not that because I've done it, therefore I've accepted. That's karma mimamsa. Right? You know, the point is no, you've done it, therefore you get that submission is there. The acharyas accept you. into the sampradayas. That's the whole point. When asked what constitutes the personal relationship of a disciple to a spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada answered, "To obey your spiritual master, whatever he has said, you must follow strictly, follow the regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, that's all." Srila Prabhupada conversation, April 8th, 1975. In another conversation, March 11th, 1976, Srila Prabhupada compared the disciple to wood, the spiritual master to matches, Krishna consciousness to fire, and Maya to water. When damp wood is placed in fire, it first dries, then ignites. When drying is compared to the practice of achar, by which the disciple associates with the acharya. When he becomes firmly situated in achar, he naturally ignites with Krishna consciousness. In this way, the flame of pure Krishna bhakti passes down the sampradaya. Quote, "There are four lines of disciplic succession, one from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciplic succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, Shambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Sri Sampradaya. And the one from the Kumara is called the Kumara Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious sense of them." So most confidential means bhakti. Because religion means what is the nature of something. So within the material world, okay, what's the nature of a Brahmin, what's a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra? So therefore, how will they interact? Right? So in the nature of the Brahmin, therefore, will do his brahminical activities like this. The Kshatriya, he has this nature, therefore, will do like that. Right, the Brahmin does it with humility. The Kshatriya does it with that whole chivalry, that kind of attitude or dignity. Right, it means if the Kshatriya walks out on the battlefield, and has this, and okay, who like Arjuna, who has come here to fight? Let us see who is here, But the Brahmin, he walks into the yag. Okay, who has come here for the sacrifice? Who wants to be the yagya? Let us see. You think it. This is weird. Who is this guy? Or he comes out on the battlefield. Well, I've come here to do whatever I can, like that, to assist, Yudhishthira in trying to, do our best and an instrument for the Lord and trying to establish the religion. You think, you understand? So that's religion. What is the nature of something? That's why they go. So, but what's the highest form of religion? Taking that and engaging it in the Lord's service. Right? So the point is highest religion means the engagement in the Lord's service. Then what do you engage in the Lord's service? Religion. Right? That's why it says pious activities, because religion is pious activities. Right? Irreligion is impious activities. So impious activities, you don't engage in the Lord's service. Pious activities, you engage in the Lord's service, because religion is engaged in the religion, for higher religion. Right? You take $10 to make $100, right? Does that make sense? Like that. It means you take what is the same thing and you get to get more. So the point is it's the highest dharma is devotion to the Lord. So that's the whole point, is that one of these sampradayas you have to be in to get that devotion to the Lord. Right? So that's taken as the highest religion. Then within the highest religion, there's variety of taste. Right, so therefore, if you want Krishna in Braj, then Mahaprabhu's line is going to give that. Right, if you want Swarupya, the Madhvas will give you that. Does that make sense? So each one will give you something specific, like that. So one must take shelter of one of these four sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. Because here, most confidential doesn't mean what Lord Chaitanya is giving. Most confidential means devotional service. Then within most confidential, there's even more confidential. Right? In the Padma Purana, it is said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishfala mata. If one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. Right. So the point is it's not a matter, I have the mantra and I'm doing the thing and I want to do it this way, and so that's the way it is. The point is this is the material world. You don't have to be let out. Right? You don't have the right attitude. A prisoner doesn't have to be let out. You know what I'm saying? If he's still badly behaved and everything, yes.
When stealing the full life is not what Lord Chaitanya is
doing? No, I said what Lord Chaitanya is doing.
So you said the most confidential...
Oh yeah, it's not meaning what Lord Chaitanya is giving, meaning when you say Lord Chaitanya is giving the most confidential. That's within Vaishnavism. We're talking about within religion, the most confidential is devotional service. Then within devotional service, then the most confidential is that love of Krishna.
So isn't that what Lord Chaitanya is giving?
That's what Lord Chaitanya is giving.
And that's the most confidential?
Here, the author is using the term, because he's quoting from Prabhupada here, is the most confidential religious system. So here, confidential, we're talking on the word confidential. That the word confidential in this context means devotional service. But we're used to hearing the word confidential religious system, meaning what Lord Chaitanya is specifically giving is Braja Prema. That's not what he's saying here, because he's saying all four sampradayas. So in other words, the four sampradayas, these are the Vaishnavas. So these are the special persons who understand the actual point of human life. Right? Then within that, it just depends where you want to go. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. You're hungry, you want to eat. Okay, so then you have restaurants. Right, so you can eat at restaurants. So restaurants have food, right? So if you have a proper restaurant, you get proper food. But the point is if you want Mexican, you go to this. You want Thai, you go to that. You want continental, you go to this one. You want Indian, you go to that one. You understand? So that's the whole point. Vaishnavas, they are the actual proper practicing personalities of understanding what human life in the material world and the scriptures are for. Right? Then within that, according to taste, that's why by taste, someone is here and someone is there. Like it says, Hanumanji will never accept Krishna and the gopis will never accept Rama. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean they don't know that they're there. The gopis are saying, you know, that Krishna's badly behaved and doesn't know properly how to deal with girls. You know, an example is how he dealt with Suparnika. So for them, Ramachandra is Krishna. And for Hanuman, Krishna is Ram. Because it's one person. You understand? It's just like the wife at home, right? Her husband is the high court judge. But who is he? He's her husband. And he has a job at the high court. So it's not that him at the high court is not her husband. But that's just her husband doing judge stuff, right? But now let's say you have the other judges and that, or they'll say the barristers, right, down at the court. So they're there, so they know the judge as a judge. They also know, yes, of course he has a family. So he is a husband, but he's the judge. You understand? That's what's going on between the different groups of Vaishnavas. It's just which taste they have. It's the same person. So in that way, so we'll say it means Krishna is first, then all the others are there. But even if someone looks at it, the Vaishnavas look at it, the Vishnu is first and Krishna's incarnation, we don't really have a problem with that. For them, that's their taste. Because for them, Krishna Lila is just a manifestation of Vishnu's Lila. That's the sweet aspect. So it means Vaikuntha is all the opulence and on reverence and all that. But there is the sweet aspect. So there are many of these Vaikuntha Vaishnavas who their preference in worship is that of Krishna. But it's still Vishnu as Krishna. So does that make sense? So therefore, that Krishna performing those pastimes is an expansion of Vishnu. Because that's not Braja Krishna. That's why we use the term Braja Krishna or Braja Gokul to distinguish it from other incarnations of Krishna and Gokul. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is Krishna expands into Vishnu, and then Vishnu expands into so many, also into these pastimes of Krishna. So sometimes, like, you hear these pastimes in the, like, the Brahma Vaivarta and stuff like that. Krishna Leela there and the whole thing, the riot that goes on over Tulsi, and then, she becomes a tree and Krishna becomes a Shaligram and the whole fight and all this thing. So that's not Swayam Krishna. You understand? That's Krishna as who's expanded from Vishnu. Same person, just the mood is not as full. Does that make sense? Yes? No? So therefore, it's not a problem how they're looking at it. The point is that Vishnu is supreme. You know, his form is eternal. Right? That was one of the points he meant. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. In the present day, there are many apasampradayas, or sampradayas which are not bona fide, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The Shastra says that being initiated in such a sampradaya is a useless waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand the real religious principles. In other words, you can't actually understand bhakti. Right, you know, because they'll think that I do this, therefore I'll get heaven. Right? Or it's just by, crying and rolling on the ground, therefore I'm tasting this bhav, and stuff like that. So yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:321 purport. Right? Yes.
Is it possible for one member of one sampradaya to test religion, morality? If you cannot test real religious principles. Can he taste something?
Can he taste something? Yeah. I mean, as we said, everybody's tasting something. I mean, because the soul is there. It's the soul who's making everything active. And it's the interaction between the soul and the Lord where the taste is there within the material world. So there's always something of use in everything. But the point is the bhakti means it's complete. Pure devotion means it's complete. Yes. So therefore, if it doesn't have all those elements, then it's not complete.
Can I say that this, if you get something like...
No, but something, what is that something?
Like sukriti?
Yes, not even... The point is that he's performing a duty because the Shastra says, so he's getting the taste of the mode of goodness. The point is bhakti comes from actual bhakti and sampradaya. He won't get that. But the point is we're talking about something that's unlimitedly beyond everything here. And if we just go out and the birds are chirping, so peaceful.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that such a spiritual experience? You understand? So, someone coming from the city just to hear some birds. I remember, the laugh, it's like, here there's always birds, just now there's more birds, right? But this is spring, so I'm in Europe in the summer, right? And then I'm there in some place for weeks, and I'm in the country. And then after a week, I saw some birds.
They all came here.
Yeah, they all came here. But this is the middle of summer, right? And then I finally saw some birds, right? But here it's like, all you see is birds. I see something green. Wow, it's taken as spiritual. So it's so, so uplifted. I felt so purified. I felt so enlivened. I felt so empowered. They go on and on and on, right? Like that. That's the advantage, is the more adjectives you have, the better you feel, right? Right? So the whole thing is you're going through this, and then, but the thing is that's what they're tasting. If they're not in the sampradaya, that's all they can get. They can't get bhakti. They can perform the act just like the smartest means those who know. If, let's say, someone's from a smarter background, right? And you ask them, okay, they were smartest, but were they Vaishnavs? If they're devotees, generally they say, no. But you say, what was your deity? Vishnu. So, but within the smartest who are not devotees, they'll say, we're Vaishnavs because we worship Vishnu. Right? And those who worship the sun god say, we're Sauryas. You know, those who are we're Ganapatyas. So they'll say that we're Vaishnavs. So we're Vaishnavs and you're Vaishnavs, so hey, we're it's all cool. But what they're tasting, what we're tasting has nothing to do with each other.
So what, you know what I'm saying? It's mundane.
Yeah, it is mundane. It's like you have the video game, right? You know, and you're going along the video game, and you have these interactives, so someone from halfway around the world is, you know, playing the other part. And then in between a battle, then they come up to, hey, do you want to go over to, you know, that, how do you say, yonder inn, you know, to have something to drink? And yeah, okay, cool. And the two of you, you can see on the screen the two of you walking off. So, yeah, this is interaction. This is happening. What taste are they getting? Is that the same taste as actually two people meeting and say, hey, you want to go, you know? Not at all. But it appears that way. So that's all they'll get. Apasampradayas means get, you know, what is it? Bupkis. Was that the proper pronunciation?
No.
How do you say it?
I don't know what it is.
You don't know that word? You don't know that word? You don't know that word?
No.
Maybe it sounds different.
Bupkis? Bupkis?
I think it's Bupkis.
Bupkis.
It's Yiddish?
It's Yiddish. That's the problem. You guys are too far north, right? Okay. Means you don't get anything. Make sense? So that's the thing. It's nice. It may look like the thing, but it's not, you know. So, but it seems, but it's not, you know. Yes. They'll just consider that they're important and everybody else is not. You know, they have the inside scoop, the special that no one else has. Like that. Yes.
Didn't you say before that, you know, the countryside and birds and all this is like motive goodness, so it's better to...
Human beings living there is motive goodness, but all those trees and that, they're all in the motive ignorance.
Oh, yeah, I know, but like a person that is feels better in that environment, isn't that because they are able to engage spiritually?
But it's there that they've connected that, but the point is then what they're doing with it.
They're not connecting.
It's not necessarily means the point is that if the living entity has made that choice to live in that kind of environment for spiritual life, you know, or because that's what the Shastras recommend and that's motive goodness. But it's not that the aboriginals preferring to be out there is necessarily motive goodness. But the point is they will be more God conscious than the city people. Because they see God in everything in nature. Maybe it's not specific, maybe it's not monotheistic, but at every moment there's somehow another seeing God. While the city person maybe occasionally, you know, before they're going to eat, before they go to bed, you know, and maybe on Sunday or Wednesday night, and we're talking about the more strict ones, you know, like that. So it's they're not going to get so much like that. Is that something else? Yeah. Yeah, so here is saying the Shastra said that being initiated in such a sampradaya is a useless waste of time. So it will never enable one to understand the real religious principles. You can't understand because you're not actually connected. You know, it's just like the car. If you don't turn it on, you know, the kid's sitting, vroom, vroom, yeah, hey, you know, kids out of hell. Ah. You know, it's not exactly happening, you know. Like that. They get some feeling and all that, but it's not the feeling of actually driving the car. So that's what they're getting. They're creating something, you know. You know?
Like Indian apple?
Yeah, like an Indian apple. Yeah, like an Indian apple. Yeah. Like that. I mean, you will get the real taste of sawdust, but, you know, you won't get the actual real taste of an apple. Yeah. Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda, okay. So therefore, when the Shastra talks about reinitiation, this is what it means. You've taken initiation into one of these lines. It's useless. So therefore, you take reinitiation into a bona fide. It's only called reinitiation because it might be the same kind of initiation. Or you use the same terminology. But once you're initiated into a bona fide line, there's no need of redoing that. Right? Just like Baladev is initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya, but when he came, surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, he didn't get reinitiated. Because he's already connected to Vishnu. That's the whole point. Now, which aspect of Vishnu? Now, by the teachings, is what gets you. Because the initiation ceremony, according to the Pancharatra, is the same. It doesn't matter where you're trying to go. It connects you to Vishnu. That's the teachings and the mood that connect you to the specific spot within the spiritual world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Diksha, does that have specifically a lot to do with culture rather than philosophy?
Dikshas? No, well, Diksha is just the formalized philosophy. So culture is formalized philosophy.
Mm.
Right? The philosophy is the reason behind or the explanation of the culture. So they're non-different. It's just like the masculine and feminine principle. They're non-different. Same time, they're different. So the point is the philosophy is the primary, the culture is its support. How do you express philosophy? If I accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, how do I apply that through the culture? Right? But why do I follow this culture? Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. You understand? So, you can't separate them. But you can separate them, but then you get sentimentalism or mental speculation. Neither of them too special. Mm. Of course, if you're into karma, then sentiment is great, and if you're into jnana, then mental speculation is great. So, hey, everybody's happy, right? But if you actually want to taste Krishna consciousness, then both is recommended.
So are there cultural differences between the four sampradayas?
Yeah, that you'll see. Because the point is if things are based on awe and reverence and that, therefore the formalization. Mm-hmm. So like in the Madhvas and Shris, Varnashram is actually part of their process.
Mm-hmm.
Rupa Goswami mentions, because by some acharyas, that's why he's saying it's due to the taste. So when Ramanuja, when they're defining the nine processes of devotion, then when you say dasyam, that for them means varnashram. You're taking your position and engaging in the Lord's service. It also will mean the element of just that mood of I'm the Lord's servant. And so as the Lord's servant, I'll engage the varnashram, my position in the Lord's service. But Rupa Goswami mentions that we don't interpret it that way. Dasyam is simply that mood of connecting whatever I have connected to the Lord. It's the same thing, but we drop the importance of the varnashram as a medium of expression. You know what I'm saying? We use it because that's a social system. Does that make sense? It's just like to be a cook. Someone's a good cook. Does he have to have the knives and the apron and the whole thing? He's got his pot and that. No, but there are some cooks who do.
Yes.
It's just without the right knives, without this, you can't. How do you cook? How do you express? And then there's who is it? There was one I heard about. It was a show, I think, in England, where the whole show was about this top chef. He would go to the supermarket, right? Just ordinary supermarket. And then when the people would go to the line, they'd have all their stuff in their basket, their little trolley. He'd go up to them and introduce himself and say, I want to come to your house, and whatever you have in your basket, cook that. And show how to make, gourmet stuff. Because his whole point was, anybody can cook gourmet stuff. That's his point. That's his angle on it. Right? While others is no, you have to have the whole thing. You go in and they have the whole kitchen and the whole thing and all the chef, the sous chef, the bucket washer. Everybody has to be there. How you say? Yeah, what's the plongeur? Yeah. Plongeur. Like that. It's like the guy who mops and cleans. Yeah. You got to have the whole thing, right? Then that's cooking, So the point is it's all cooking, but it's a matter of taste. Does that make sense? So the one is, that's the form, and then within this form, we'll do spontaneous things. The other is about the spontaneous, so therefore will engage the forms. It's just taste. Both are top chefs. Both are excellent cooks. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka. Does that make sense? It's just taste. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies 13 apasampradayas that split away from the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya after Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Aul, Baul, Kartabaja, Neda, Dadavesha, Shani, Sahajiya, Shakibeki, Smarta, Jad Goswami, Ativadi, Chudadhari, and Gauranga Nagari. These apasampradayas, apa means deviated, are like parasitical growths upon the great tree of the Sankirtan movement. Because they exhibit all the defects of material conditioning, they are spiritually useless. The quote-unquote rasa relished by such groups is termed prakrita rasa by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right? So in other words, it's material taste. They're supposedly doing their devotional activities, but the taste they're gaining from it is material. It's not actually spiritual. They'll say it is, but it's not. Those who actually know rasa know it's not and can identify. Their missionary activities are condemned as cheating. So in other words, their preaching and everything like that is deemed as cheating. That's why we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the Nam Hatha, so everybody could be connected. Jagatthakur Maharaj used that for village preaching. Because we'd go in, cultivate a village, you know, the Nam Hatha and that, and waiting for them to get initiated, you know, 16 rounds and everything like that. But before that would happen, when they get nicely situated, then these upper sampradayas would know that here's a good village. You know, they're very pious, they're really like that. They'd come in and then just say, who wants to get initiated, and initiate the whole village. So you started the thing, you know, you come in, you know, that you surrender to the instruction of, you know, Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, then you're chanting 4 rounds, then you're chanting 8 rounds, then you're chanting 12. So you give a name to each. So as soon as they start to chant, then in their mind, I'm connected with this sampradaya, even though they're not initiated. And so that way, then the other sampradayas can't come in and... Yes?
So you're saying that the people in the other sampradayas, they are doing material activity?
No, not the other sampradayas, the other... within the upper sampradayas.
Oh, right.
The other sampradayas, they're bona fide Vaishnavas, and they're worshipping the Lord according to their particular taste.
So in the upper sampradayas, they're doing what they consider devotional activities, and they think they're getting devotional out of it, but it's actually material. So isn't that the same as a Vaishnava doing a devotional activity, but they're still materially contaminated, therefore their experience of it is material?
No, it means it'll be mixed. Theirs is not mixed devotional service. Theirs just isn't devotional service.
And they can't tell the difference?
No.
And
can kids tell the difference between, you know, hot cuisine? You know, all they know is that, you know, if it's got ketchup on it, it's good. Do you kind of catch that someone who's a Vaishnava is special? Okay, so why would you want to put them in the same category as a materialist?
I don't want to.
No, but why are you? You don't want to, but we did it. You know. Yeah, we made you do it. You know.
I withdraw my question.
Okay. Okay. So either very clever or very smart. The other. Yeah. So the point is that the devotee is performing devotional activity, but it's mixed with the mundane. So that's why we say there's pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. But the mix is with pure devotional service. But they don't have devotional service. It's just mundane.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to put the devotee into the category of the materialist. I was trying to not let the materialist into the category of the devotee.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the point, is that the devotee is performing activities of pure devotional service, but their attitude's not pure, so therefore there's a mix. The other ones, there is no devotional service.
Okay.
There is no connection. But they perform the activities like the Vaishnavas and say, "I'm doing this." You know, it's just like the little girls up in the attic, right? And there she's found, you know, some high heels, and she's found, you know, her mother's wedding dress, and, you know, she's taken Barbie and Ken up there, and it's all happening, right? You know, this big wedding, it's a hall. Yeah, but is there any wedding going on? No. You know, is there anything, you know, it's important or that, you know? No. So that's what's going on. They just say, "Yeah, yeah, we're doing this, get together," you know, like that. But it's not happening.
Okay. I'm just asking because sometimes I get scared that I'm doing that. So.
The point is you're in a bona fide line, so then it's mixed devotional service. It's not an apasampradaya. It means if you got your own philosophy and want to start your own apasampradaya, that's another thing, right? You know. The point is there's pure devotional service and there's mixed, so we try to remove the mixed. But that's why, I just heard today, Prabhupada's mentioning in Bhagavatam, that if the scriptures are correct, if we're following the scriptures and coming in sampradaya, what we're doing is correct, whether we fully understand it or not. But by time we get purified, we're able to understand. Just like the child in the family, they do what they're told. They don't know why they're supposed to do it. Right? You can explain, maybe they understand, maybe they don't. Right? But when they get older, then they understand that the practices are there because they're in the proper line, so then they come out like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, those practicing and they apasampradaya, would they not be quite upset and maybe offended to hear what we're saying about how what they're doing is nothing to do with Krishna consciousness? It's got nothing, it's mundane and it's material,
yeah.
And there's no future for them in doing what they're doing. Wouldn't they think, well, they're just the same? They think they
everybody thinks they're just the same. Go down to the prison and talk there that they're criminals. You know, do they want to be called a criminal? Come on, they just, you know, the world's tough, and that they tried to do the practical thing, and it didn't work out for them. They got caught, they're in jail, but, you know, all the other guys are not. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, what's the worry? I mean, excuse me, one second. Just to confirm, just to make sure, because I wouldn't. Anybody hears from an apasampradaya? That you might feel offended that we're saying you're not connected. But, yeah. No, at least they're keeping their mouth shut. Okay. So at least for political correctness, they're not going to show that they're upset, not here. Okay. You know what I'm saying is that here we're talking. When you're talking to one of them, then you talk about chanting and this and that. But the point is they're engaged in activities with us, then they're actually connected. When they're out on their own, then they're not. You know what I'm saying? But the point is they've gotten from us stuff, they learned from us, then they're doing, then it's just, you know, very mixed devotional service. You know, but when they're on their own, then they're not connected. They have to be connected to a sampradaya too. Like that. Does that make sense? But we say the same thing about, you know, I mean, we go through everything. You see the introduction to many of the Acharya's books. The first thing they do is, if you're an atheist, you know, if you're a moralist, if you're a grammarian, you know, like this, if you're, have Mayavadi or anything like this, then stop reading right now. Don't read any further, like that, you know. So it's just, you know, what to do. You know, everybody, you know, thinks like that. Then there's God. See, that's the whole point, is we can say, no, but it's your opinion and our opinion. Yeah, of course, if it's just your opinion, my opinion, you can go on forever. But it's God's opinion. Therefore, you know, you can't really argue with that, you know. But it's just the way it is. You know, it's just like saying, okay, the person is there, they spend, you know, millions of dollars in charity to help, you know, kids in Africa. Okay? Like that. But the point is, it's still not spiritual. It's nice welfare work, but it's still not spiritual. So will they be offended? You know? You know, he's the top Formula One racer. He's won, how you say, 8 out of 10 races this season. But that doesn't make him a good cook. Is he going to be offended? No, it's a different thing. It's two different, like that. So sad. But these guys might, because they really think they're in the Sampradaya. Right? Bhaktivinoda, of course, pointed out he's 13. I don't think we have 13 here, because many of them go into groups. Chan, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So some of them go together. With the Prakriti Sahajas, I think the owls and bowels, they go together. Because they're kind of like we have Brahmacharis, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. They have their kind of like levels that, when you're a brahmachari, then you call this, and when you have a partner, you call this, when you're retired, you call, so like that. So they're kind of the same group. So I think they've been dealt with like that. Is that okay? It's just, in other words, if you're talking to a Prakriti Sahajya, you don't necessarily tell him that he's a nonsense. like that. Yes.
Doesn't mean that if there is an artist who is not a devotee and he hears Mahamantra from both groups, Sampradaya and Tapa Sampradaya, he will get the only benefit from chanting when he hears it from Sampradaya?
Right, yeah. Because point is mantra is there, but what's the life of the mantra? It's just syllables. So unless the chit potency is there, how it gives spiritual potency? So it's the Sampradaya that gives the potency. Like that. The words don't, it's not that the words or the action, it's that it's connected. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's say you're managing. So it means there are really good managers in this world. But unless it's connected to the Sampradaya, it doesn't give spiritual benefit. You know what I'm saying?
So to see that something is bona fide, we have to go to the source.
Yeah, yeah. You have to see, that it's connected to the acharyas and it's following their teachings. The mood in their teachings. Because otherwise, if they're doing something else, then... Yes.
Should these people come into ISKCON centers? If they come in?
Well, it depends what they do. If they come take darshan, take charanamrita, sit down and chant, and then leave, fine. But if they start rolling on the ground and howling and that, then we generally... don't let them do that. They get upset, but what to do? Between the whole temple room getting upset or them getting upset, better they get upset. Yes.
So if someone reads a book on the name of Krishna, a non-devotee reads the name of Krishna from Prabhupada's book, or he reads the name of Krishna from the Mayavadi book or anything, he's not getting any benefit by hearing or pronouncing the name of Krishna.
Means what's the point? You know what I'm saying? These points that are being made, it's like the other day, we had the same problem. What do you want to establish here? So even if they're getting some benefit, little benefit, is it the same as the unlimited ocean of bhakti that you can get from that name? So then the point is the person goes out and appreciates that this natural beauty is so beautiful. They're getting benefit and getting purified because that beauty is Krishna. That's why they feel good. Why do you think that the aboriginals, even though they're so sinful, are seemingly have a certain element of very innocence or purity? It's because they're purified, because they acknowledge and accept the potencies of God. Someone accepts, they see, there the fireman went in and he's working hard and he's sacrificing, and they appreciate that. They get purified. Why? Because sacrifice is Krishna. So the point is there's nothing in this world that's not connected to Krishna that people aren't getting benefit from. The point is do you want to get spiritual results from it? Purified, Mayavadis are purified. You don't go to the Brahman if you're not purified. They perform naishkarmya. You go to these Mayavadi people, if they're sitting amongst grihasthas, they're preaching naishkarmya. Do your duties without attachment. They're saying exactly the same thing we're saying. They just leave out the bhakti part. You know what I'm saying? So they're saying exactly the same thing. You know, if you don't do nice work, behave nicely, interact, you don't get to the heavenly planets. The point is for all of these people's nice work, all they're going to get to is the heavenly planets at best or the Brahma Jyoti. That's it. They're not going to get any better. But we're offering them pure bhakti that'll get them back to Godhead. There is nothing here that's not God. And that's not the interaction with it. Right? Why are you not falling through the floor? Right? That was Hume's nightmare. Right? Because God is holding it up. Ananta, and why are you sitting here? Why aren't you bumping your head on the ceiling? Because Ananta's there. You know, so why would they be so, you know, he's so absorbed. Why would he find taste in being absorbed in trying to figure out gravity? Because he's absorbed in the potency of Ananta. Or why do the physicists, you know, space? And they get so much taste because that's the Adhara Shakti. You can't get taste out of dead matter. It just, there's no taste for the living entity. So all they're getting taste out of Krishna's potencies. Right? You know, ladies are sitting around at 3 o'clock, you know, ironing their clothes and watching the soapy, right? And they're sitting there and so much emotion and everything like that. Where is that taste coming from? Because that element of romance or relationships, that's Krishna. That's why they're getting taste. You know, the other ones, it's the action, or the guy's out, you know, riding his, you know, motorcycle off a cliff or something, and it's exciting. Why? But because the excitement, the adventure, that's Krishna. There's nothing that anybody's doing and getting a taste from that's not Krishna. There isn't anything. There's no such thing as it. But we don't identify that as devotional service. There is only God, so you can only interact with God. The difference is devotional means you're interacting with God knowingly with trying to please God. Right? The impersonal is knowingly not trying to please God. Right? And then material means not knowingly trying to please yourself. That's all. That's what's actually going on. So there is no such thing. So all these things to find out, well, do they get a little bit of... Of course, it said that the Muslim guy, he's saying haram. Right? You know, and he's getting, because he says Rama, he gets benefit. It's namabas. But the point is that's just generic. Where's the offense? Right, it's not devotion. He doesn't think it's God, but he's not being offensive. But the Mayavadi, he's actually offensive, because these names are actually just—they don't have any meaning. So if you hear it from the Mayavadis, then it's not going to be beneficial. But if you just hear it's a general thing, then they'll get some benefit. You know that all these yoga studios are chanting Hare Krishna and all that. It means there's more preaching of Hare Krishna going on than we're doing in the yoga world. You know, it's sad to say, but yes. Right. But, so the point is it's going on. So it's nice that they're doing it. So, it's pious and everything, but if it's not connected to Sampradaya, they're not getting any benefit more than they're getting purified. But now, if they, because they like the chant, then if we're chanting, they'll happily come to our yoga studio and hear our chanting. Then they'll start to get bhakti secreted. You know what I'm saying? But if they're against chanting, they won't come and chant with us. You know what I'm saying? The person's vegetarian, then they'll like taking our food. But if they're vegan, they won't eat our food. You know, they don't get spiritual benefit. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's all these pious elements are only valuable in as much as they'll be interested to take part in service to the Lord. That's the limit. So everybody's getting some benefit. You know, the little kid kneeling in his bed at night and God, please, you know, protect mommy and daddy and, you know, my little baby sister and, you know, please, you know, let me do well in my exams tomorrow. He's getting benefit. He's turning to God. But is that pure devotion? No. But the point is because of that, then he may be open to coming in contact with the devotees. So there's nothing anybody's not doing to. They're the gangs. They're gang members and that. And they're having a shootout with the other guys. You know, and then, you know, the head guy gets shot, but he's out in a place where he's, you know, it's a little dangerous. The other guys could get to him. But one of his juniors runs out there, risks his life to get him and pull him in. You know, like that. He gets benefit. Because he's made that sacrifice. You know, it's a gang member, he's going to get only a little bit. If that was a Brahmin, he'd get a lot. You know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that benefit is there in anything that is dealing with superior qualities. It's always there. But the point is whether it's coming in contact with the Lord and the proper sampradaya. That's when you start to get real benefit. You know, just like kids born in the family of devotees. They're called samanya bhaktas, or you know, they're not sampradayak. Their parents are sampradayak devotees, but the kids aren't. They're just born in devotee families. So therefore the family is chanting Hare. They're chanting. They're taking prasad. They were born in a karmi family, they'd be eating karmi food and not chanting Hare Krishna. So they're doing devotional service, but not on their own commitment. You understand? As they themselves commit to it, that's when that transformation takes place. And then when they surrender to the authority of, you know, the sampradaya, that's then when they become sampradayic. But otherwise, they're counted as devotees. You understand? So everything is designed as beneficial for the living entity. You know what I'm saying?
When devotee one time in France told us that there's a candy brand, Haribo.
Yeah,
he called them up one day and he noticed the secretary and immediately picks up the phone and says Haribo.
Yeah, of course. They get it's Namabas. They get benefit. Of course, don't eat the candies because I think they're not vegetarian. But yeah, well, not a matter of prasad. I don't think they're offerable. But
no.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is everybody gets benefit from chanting Hari Bol. Yeah. It's just like, in America it was big in the 50s and 60s. I mean, even I've seen it in Europe sometimes, the East Bloc. You have some kind of a big program. So you have a Telerama. You know, or, you know, like that. So they get benefit. They chant. That's why they like it, because it's actually Namabas. So they're getting some benefit. But the point is they still won't understand devotional service till they come in contact with devotees. But the point is these are all innocent. But when you hear it from a Mayavadi, they don't think it's spiritual. Therefore, that's polluting. So you don't want to hear from the Mayavadis. Okay. You had something.
This is spiritual logic. You mentioned this yesterday. But in the analysis, this Upasampadas, why does the religious like Christianity and Islam fit in? How does.
Well, this is what we're talking here is Brahma Sampradayas. These are Upasampradayas from our line. That's what the studies specifically are.
So it doesn't deal with what the other religions fit in?
Not in this text. That's the other text that we're dealing with. Means in this study, this part of the study, then means the previous one, that's dealing with that. That's just showing philosophies. But the point is it'll come up, because the point of painting, making the Kartabhaja means making the guru into God. So that basically you could say is Christianity in a nutshell. Right, you know, so that's that aspect of the sampradaya. You know, so all these things apply wherever they apply. You take them and apply them where they apply. You know, it's just like, let's say, I show you, okay, you take a piece of wood, and you cut this part like this and this other part like that, and you put it together, it makes a corner. So like this, you can use it, you know, let's say for you're making a door, and you're putting it together, you would use this joint. Can I use that on a window? So does it have a corner? Yes. Okay. Well, what about on a bed? Yeah, of course. It's a corner. But what about a drawer? That's also square. Would we use that? You understand the point?
Maybe not. I'm sorry.
The point is that it's the same thing, so therefore it's the same technique.
Yeah, just
okay, let's say I have two apples and I have another two apples. How many apples I have?
Not two apples, not two, five, four.
Four, yes. Sure not five? Like that. In quantum, maybe you can have five. You know? That's one thing. Schroeder's cat's alive or dead. What happens if he's out partying? What happens if he's not in the box? You know, what about that as an option? Right? So, okay, now what if we have two bricks plus two bricks? How many bricks?
Two bricks plus two bricks.
Yes.
Yes, four.
Okay, and what if we have Kubricks? Kubricks plus Kubricks. Then what do we have?
A very long
movie, right? Yeah. Okay. So, okay. You understand? What if we have two shoes and another two shoes? How many shoes?
Four.
Okay. But did the mechanics of math change?
No. So at your point where you just apply what's there and you just,
yes, just that's the point. Yes, that's exactly the point. In other words, upasampradayas function in a certain way. Now, we're just studying the ones in our sampradaya. But the same thing applies. Other upasampradayas, have you ever heard of the Ramanandis? Sometimes you see them, you go to Kumbh Mela. They're an upasampradaya, I think, of the Shris. They just turned to Ram, and they're these sadhu kind of things, but they're actually upasampradayas. So everybody else has their upasampradayas also. It's the same thing. You understand? So everybody's got their upasampradayas. Christianity has their upasampradayas.
Judaism also.
Huh?
Judaism.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so they have all kinds of stuff. Everybody has it. You know. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. You come to that aspect later on, like this.
No, that's done in another study. Here, this study is simply about the 13 upasampradayas in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. That's this. The other work, when we're studying Tattva Vivek, that's about world religions and philosophies. It's a different study, but the points remain. The point is this is this opposite, how it's gone off the track. The other is, what is the philosophy behind it? What aspect of the modes of nature created this philosophy? So putting those two together, you can deal with anything. So. Is that okay?
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.